This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Phoebe Wolfram presented at a Toronto conference called Psych Out, a conference for organizing resistance against psychiatry, which was held in May 2010. I attended the conference as a media delegate on behalf of People First Radio, and I also attended Phoebe's paper presentation, which was included among a number of MAD research and publishing initiatives that were presented. Phoebe Ann Wolfram joins us on the phone today. Welcome to People First Radio, Phoebe.
Thank you. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Nice to talk with you again.
Good to talk with you, too.
Now, Phoebe, the title of your paper presentation at the Psych Out conference was The Madwoman in the Academy, Making Space for the Mad Movement in Feminist Scholarship and Interdisciplinary Studies. And I'm wondering if you could just give us a sense of how this topic emerged as an interest for you.
Okay, well, first I kind of want to give a nod to Sandra Gilbert and Susan Gubar, who have a book called The Mad Woman in the Attic. So I sort of borrowed my title from them, in a sense. They were sort of some of the first people doing feminist literary criticism, and I am a literary scholar. So I'm working in literary analysis. But beyond that, I also have experience as a patient in the mental health system. I'm not currently a psychiatric patient, and I haven't been for a number of years, but I was for about 6 years as a sort of teenager and early 20s person. And my experiences there and meeting with other people in the mental health system and subsequently talking to people in the anti-psychiatry or psychiatric reform movement has led me to want to look at sort of the MAD movement in an academic context as well as an activist context.
During your presentation, you also referred to a short story called The Yellow Wallpaper.
Yes, that's a story, 19th century story, written by a woman named Charlotte Perkins Gilman, and it's pretty well known, and it deals with the idea of the rest cure, which was a way of treating women who had been diagnosed with hysteria or melancholia, you know, what we might call depression or anxiety today, in the 19th century, and so that it was thought that sort of life was too straining for them. In order to treat this, they were just supposed to sit at home and do nothing, which kind of made it worse. And so this story is about a woman who is on the rest cure, and she becomes obsessed with this wallpaper in her room and starts to see women trapped behind it. And of course, the women sort of symbolize the societal oppression for women at the time of being constrained within a particular domestic situation of marriage and childbearing and not really allowed to have an intellectual life. Like, the central character is told by her husband that she shouldn't exert herself by writing, even though she loves to write. So that would be one example of kind of a mad text, what I've been calling a mad text in my work. And I'm not looking at the 19th century specifically in my thesis project, though I have in the past. I'm looking more at contemporary literature since post-World War II. But that is an example I've used with first-year students that's been really productive for them. Mm.
During your presentation, you referred to the work of several women, including Dorothy Smith, who put together with Sarah David a collection of papers representing a feminist critique of psychiatry in 1975. Tell us more about women and psychiatry and the relationship between the two.
Right. So I'm also interested. I have a background in women's studies, which is an interdisciplinary field, as well as literary studies, and I think there are links to be made between the the feminist movement and the MAD movement. And actually, the MAD movement came along like a little bit later than sort of the second wave feminist movement, which, you know, came about in the 60s. You get that sort of stereotype of the bra burner, right? And so you had women fighting for reproductive rights and trying to enter the public sphere more, get jobs outside the home and have their labor as in the domestic sphere as mothers recognized as well. And I think those struggles are tied too to the MAD movement. And a lot of the techniques used in second wave feminism, such as consciousness raising, which was where sort of women would sit around and talk about their experiences as women and talk about the way that informed their worldview and how that worldview was different from sort of the dominant narratives in the media, how you know, saying how the world was or what women were. So they were sort of challenging those based on their own experiences. And MAD people did the same thing, challenged ideas about what it meant to be crazy or sane or sick or healthy. And the effectiveness of the treatment methods used by some psychiatric professionals and institutions using a similar method of consciousness raising, so meeting together and talking about their ideas and their own experiences. So I'm sort of trying to say if feminist work has been sort of brought into the academy and we're studying it in women's studies, what about looking at a place for the MAD movement as well and linking it to other social justice movements like feminism? Mm-hmm.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. On May the 7th and 8th, 2010, over 200 people gathered in Toronto for a conference focused on organizing resistance against psychiatry called Psych Out. I attended the conference as a media delegate representing People First Radio. Psych Out's stated purpose was to provide a forum for psychiatric survivors, MAD people activists, scholars, students, radical professionals, and artists from around the world to come together and share experiences of organizing against psychiatry. People belonging to marginalized groups who are at greater risk of psychiatrization, such as women, racialized people, queer and trans people, people with disabilities, and homeless people and others living in poverty, were active participants. People First Radio continues to bring to the air a variety of voices from the anti-psychiatry and MAD Pride movements. Today, a conversation with Phoebe Ann Wolfram, who presented from her research at the conference. Phoebe, you were moving in the direction of talking about the academy, so to speak, and you've said that what has been called the MAD movement remained more or less invisible in academic settings. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think it still largely does remain invisible today. There are some people doing what I would call MAD studies work, notably Jeffrey Reume at York University in the Department of Disability Studies, and Bonnie Burstow at the Ontario Institute of Studies and Education. They've both done work talking about the MAD movement and in academia. But a lot of academics don't really know about it, which is unfortunate. I think it has a lot to offer, especially today as we move into what's often called third wave feminism. So a feminism that recognizes some of the perhaps oversights of the past, including sort of ignoring the ways in which, for example, race and ability, say physical or intellectual ability or age or class or sexual orientation or gender orientation might also be factors in people's oppression and how often various aspects of identity are sort of intertwined. And so it doesn't really make sense to kind of separate them off and just talk about gender or just talk about race. And we need to talk about them together, both in social justice movements and in an academic setting where we're trying to think critically and talk about social justice and how to address social justice issues. And my field is literary studies, so this might seem sort of strange, but often in literary studies, what we're talking about is, you know, how is literature working to, you know, resist dominant culture or to sort of make an intervention in sort of the established, the things that we think we know in society. You know, what is it showing us that's different? And so I'm sort of stepping up to say, well, what have people said about madness? How have they looked at it differently in literature to challenge psychiatry, to challenge norms of gender and race and class and sexuality? And I've actually been very lucky to have a very receptive audience so far, both from my students and my colleagues and my supervisory committee. And I would love to see more work happening in mad studies in the academy, for sure.
Now, Phoebe, you said during your presentation in Toronto, and I was very pleased to be able to attend that, that you wished that you had heard about the MAD movement earlier in your life. How do you think that would or could have changed your experience?
Well, for one thing, I think I might have left the mental health system earlier. In some ways, I think that getting diagnosed and getting involved, you know, in sort of a long-term relationship with the mental health system, as it were, actually prolonged the time that I needed to spend there, and the time that I spent sort of not having an activist life or an intellectual life in the way I do now. I think if I had been able to sort of politicize a lot of my feelings about maybe the world not working right, I think a lot of people have that feeling as a young person that maybe they don't fit in the world or it doesn't work the way that people tell them it works. And I assumed something was wrong with me and I was very unhappy and I ended up in the mental health system, but I think maybe if I had been able to politicize that and also to understand at an earlier point that the mental health system wasn't infallible and they didn't know all of the answers and that psychiatrists were not the be-all and end-all of how to look at people's experiences of the world or their experiences of being sad or being angry, I would have been able to maybe find different ways to cope that worked better for me earlier on. But that being said, I'm here now, and I'm glad that I was able to also learn a lot from those experiences and meet a lot of really wonderful people in that particular part of my life.
Phoebe, we have just a moment left, and I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today.
I want to encourage people, if they're doing any kind of activist work or are interested in social justice, to do some reading up on the anti-psychiatry movement, the also known as the MAD movement or the ex-patient movement. It's gone by a lot of titles, because I think that it does get sort of left behind and is not known about by a lot of people who are interested in social justice. And so read about it, find out about it, tell other people about it, whether you're an academic, whether you're an activist. I'd love to get the word out there, get people having another perspective on the mental health system.
Thanks very much for taking the time to join us today. It was much appreciated.
Thank you so much for the interview.
Phoebe Ann Wolframe is a PhD candidate at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. Her research interests include 19th and 20th century British literatures, feminist theory and pedagogy, and cultural representations of madness, along with women's writing and theories of gender and sexuality. You can find Phoebe Wolframe online at the McMaster.ca website.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM. CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.